You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Grave Confessions from The Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
Hi, Tony. My name is Courtney, and I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 17 years. I've had several experiences, some good, some bad, but I'm going to discuss the kind of first experience that I've had with the paranormal outside of my personal life. I am very sensitive, and I've sensed things in the past, and I have many stories, so if you'd like to hear any more, I would be more than happy to call back. But this story is related to my job as a nurse. I had been a nurse for about a year and a half, and I worked on a regular floor at the time. And I had, you know, six patients. I worked nights, and I had this one patient, an older lady, who was passing away. And she was in a room that was all the way down the end of our west hallway on the right-hand side. And it's what we call a isolation room. So it has an ante room, which is the room in front of it. And then the room, you go into that, and then the patient's room is through another door. And it's for patients in isolation for tuberculosis or measles or any airborne type infection. She didn't have any of that, but that was the room that she was in at the time. The hard thing about this room is unless you go all the way into the ante room and turn slightly to the right, you can't see the patient's bed from the hallway door. And there was a glass window on that door. So you had to go all the way in to see it. So I'd gone in and I had, you know, went in to introduce myself to the family. And I went into this room and there was no family. And I was really kind of puzzled, and she's laying there, obviously comfortable. We'd given her some medicines to keep her comfortable. And so I stepped out and I went to my charge nurse and said, "Hey, there's no family or anybody for this patient in this room." And she said, "Oh, yes, she has three kids. They said she was a horrible human being in life, terrible, terrible person, super abusive, just a dark human being. No one loved her anymore. No one liked her. She had no friends, and they don't care that she dies. It couldn't happen quick enough. And so just call them when it's over, and then call this company that will come pick her up and cremate her for a really low price." It was kind of what we had for, you know, there was no service. There were no memorial. There was none of that. They just wanted her dead and gone. And so that made me feel kind of sad because, you know, I was still very young and I knew people like that existed out there, but I just never really felt it and experienced it. And I try to be with folks at the end of life because that's really, really important. I think having support and love around them helps them maybe pass a little bit more peacefully and easier. So I kind of stilled myself and said, "Wow, that's really terrible." Went on with my night. And then at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, my telemetry tech, the person who watches the EKG, said, "Hey, your patient in that room, her heart rate has stopped. Like, she no longer has a heartbeat. And so, can you go check on her? So I said, sure. I finished up what I was doing. And I went down the end of that hallway and I walked into the ante room and I suddenly was hit with this wall of just sorrow, pain, like physical agony in my body, cold chills, hot flush, like all of these feelings all at one time. And I was like, it was like walking into a noxious fog. And I was just kind of not thinking anything of it, and I walked forward and I turned slightly right. Sorry, it makes me kind of freaked out thinking about this again. But I looked straight ahead once I turned slightly right, and some of the lights in the room were on, so it wasn't completely dark. And in the on the left-hand side of her bed, toward at the head of the bed, there was a huge, tall, 10-foot-tall, black hooded figure, and it was leaning down over her head of her bed, down onto her, like reaching. And I kind of say it's like, you know, if you were taking your hands to do like a diamond push-up, kind of close in proximity like that, reaching down towards her. And I immediately freak out, turn heel, and run out of there. I noped out of there so fast because it was horrifying. And I run down to the end of the hall and I get my charge nurse and I said, oh my gosh, there's something in her room. And she said, what are you talking about? And I'm pale, I'm sweaty, I'm on the verge of tears like I am right now. And I said, something's in her room. It was like a demon or something. And my charge nurse said, oh, I totally believe you. You know, people that are evil and things like that, I bet you a demon came from hell or one of the devil's minions came to literally retrieve her soul. And I got cold chills everywhere. I was freaking out. I said, I am not going in that room alone. I need people to come with me. So the charge nurse, you know, her secretary at the time, said, okay, we'll go with you. And they were both very, very religious, which I'm not as uber religious, but I have spiritual beliefs. And so she's like, we just need to pray that we're going to be protected. So say protection prayers about you, however you need to say it, like, you know, limiting entry or exit of anything into your body kind of a thing. So we're going down the hallway and we're whispering quietly while turning on all those lights and closing all the other patient doors so we don't disturb them because we need some light to see what's going on. And we get down to that room and, you know, we're saying these prayers of protection, you know, don't let anything touch me, nothing's allowed into me, please give us me strength to get through this and clear anything from evil from this building. And so we all three get to the door and we kind of take a deep breath and we walk in and we turn on the anteroom light because it's a big room. And we all take a breath again and turn towards the right to look at her bed. And there's nothing in there, just her laying in the bed and obviously deceased. And she said, oh, thank God it's taken whatever it wanted to take and it has left us in peace. And my charge nurse went over and said some prayers over her, and I'm quietly saying some protection prayers myself and just feeling like super scared, but better. Like that oppressive feeling was gone. We pronounced the patient, then notified the family, et cetera, and then that's the end of the story. But it still causes me to have a visceral reaction just thinking about it. And I don't know if I explained it well enough or if I rambled. So if I did, I'm sorry. I do have lots of other stories. So if you'd like to hear them, I'd be more than happy to tell them. So thank you guys so much. And I really enjoy your podcast. And I hope you enjoy my story. Thanks.
This has been a Grave Confession from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.